Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Sestrino, back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories here for the week of April 19th, 2022, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yeah, that's right. News AF is back once again, and here we are to talk about some great news stories from this past week. And here I am back with a man who is here week in and week out. Even though he has many adventures going in, please welcome in the eye in the sky, Vascular D, Danny Bryson.
Grinding away.
Grinding.
News AF. Yep.
Yes.
Danny, I was just flying a helicopter, speaking of adventures, all day yesterday.
Oh my God. Where did you go?
We flew down actually to Arizona.
Yeah. Were you looking for Tyson from overhead?
We scoured the desert.
Yes.
We flew low level.
You didn't find his lifeless body?
I didn't see him anywhere.
Yeah.
And we were down there for quite some time looking all over the place. And eventually we had to come back, but yeah, still no sight of Tyson, at least in Northern
Arizona.
You're
a good friend. You're a good friend, Danny.
I know. I mounted a rescue operation, but there was no one to rescue yet.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you're going to keep looking?
Yeah. Maybe I'll get some people together and go down again to Arizona, try a different part.
Yeah.
He loves animals. So just go hone in on the places with the most animals. Maybe he's decided to become feral.
You don't think he's in danger, do you?
He's pretty tall. Mm-hmm. He's got a good mustache. So that prepares him, you know, makes him able to defend himself.
Yeah.
In most situations.
Okay. Well, Danny, this is a, you know, an incredible search. I mean, it seems like, you know, he's posting on social media. So I like, you know, at first I thought we were getting ghosted like the pepper you ate back at News AM 100
Still
live.
Still can taste that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the show must go on. And so we're here to bring you the top news stories every single week. We have a great guest here with us, back with us. He actually filled in for Danny one time back in 2021, back when it was Tyson and I here with this man, who, of course, has a lot going on over on RHAP right now. Of course, you can catch him every week podcasting away about The Masked Singer, and has just kicked off a new season of 90 Day Fiancé coverage over on RHAP. It's Puya Zambakili. Puya, how are you?
Rob, I'm doing delightful. You know, the shoes, they're too big to fill. I can never fill these shoes, whether it's Danny or
tall.
Tyson.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, both of them.
His shoe size small, though. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, he's like a 9.5. So don't feel intimidated at all.
Well, I can't fill those shoes for different reasons now. But I will say, I tried to say this in the pre-show, but, you know, I'm here to make my wife jealous. That's what I'm here for. Danny, she is a big fan of News AF. She's a big fan of yours. Liana, look who's here.
Yeah. Danny, did you know this, that Puya's wife is not only a big fan of News AF, but, you know, I find this very impressive because that she's also a scientist. And so I always get very, you know, happy to hear when, you know, very smart people are not just dismissing what we're talking about here on News AF.
Oh, that's add some credibility.
Yes.
Does.
A member of the scientific community.
I always wish I was a member of that community. It would just add some gravitas to everything I said if I could also say I was a scientist, right?
What area of science would be your focus, Danny?
Maybe you want an area that's easy to graduate in, but sounds super awesome. I don't know what that would be. I'd have to do some research, which isn't my strongest suit, which is why
bringing you back once again to teledildonics?
I'm slowly being made a teledildonic scientist just from all the kudos you guys give me. And you make me sound like I'm an expert on the subject, but that's not where I want to get my, you know, scientific degree in.
Yes.
I want something else. What is your wife? What does she study?
Oh, biomedical engineering.
See, listen to that.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool. That covers bio. Cool. Medical. Awesome. Engineering. That's like everything from living to, at least to me. Yeah,
that's like the turducken of science.
Yeah. Triple threat in the science world.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay. And then, Puya, anything exciting going on in the world of 90 Day Fiancé with the new group that you could entice Danny to start watching this season?
Yeah, I can give you a little sneak peek of what's coming up that we learned about. So there's this guy who he met his wife. She's from Trinidad and Tobago, and she's coming over on the K-1 visa. She doesn't know. So he is a very successful real estate agent and has a very nice house. It looks like an Airbnb, this house. It looks phenomenal. And his plan, she hasn't seen anything. She doesn't know how wealthy he is. So his plan is she's coming over. He's picking her up in this very shady van. And he's taking her for the first night to spend the night at his childhood home that I guess he's bought, but they don't use. So it's like a rundown house. He's planning on having her stay there the first night as a prank and then show her the real digs the next day, which is only disaster waiting to happen.
Best relationships always start with a fabrication.
Yeah. Great prank. Yeah. So that's going to be a wild one for sure.
Yeah, Danny, how was your Easter?
Oh my gosh. I can't gripe enough about holidays. They used to be one day and now they're extending to entire weeks with multiple egg hunts.
Yeah.
Luckily I got out of another egg hunt yesterday.
Good job. Yesterday.
Yeah. Post Easter egg hunt.
I got to shut that down, Danny.
There's so much going on and none of it. It's like rabbits, eggs. Mm-hmm. It's too much.
Too much.
And so I refused. So on Sunday, Liz said, would you like to help me hide these eggs? And I said, no. Mm-hmm. I just said, no.
Right. Good.
I said, I hid baskets last night at 11. I'm done. That's as much holiday as I can take.
I was so like, I have so many questions and then I get in trouble if I ask like, what are we doing? My wife boiled 36 eggs.
Oh my gosh.
I said, what is Jonathan from Survivor coming over? What are we doing with all these eggs? Like, why are we making it? And then she said some other family was going to come over and also eggs with us, but they had to bail activity for some miracle. But then this is the insane part of it. So, okay. We boiled three dozen eggs.
Yes.
But the Easter bunny hides plastic eggs at my house.
Yeah. What'd you do with all those boiled eggs?
That's a great question. Great question. And I said, but why did we boil and color all of these eggs? Because the Easter bunny is concerned we'll hide a hard-boiled egg in our house and then not find it and forget about it. And then it will go bad and then make the house smell bad because we will not find it. That's why we hide plastic eggs in our house.
You know, normally Liz demands subservience when it comes to holidays and planning. Mm-hmm. So yesterday or Sunday when I said no, and that's all I said was, no, I'm not doing that. I was surprised that she finally was like, okay, because I feel like if you're the one who wants to have this extravagant plan, then you just have to assume that you're the only one who's going to do mm-hmm. it. You can't drag unpaid, forced volunteers into your stupid mm-hmm. extracurricular holiday activities. That's just too much. Mm-hmm. That was not in the marriage contract.
Yeah.
Every holiday must last a week and I must participate in every activity. So finally I got out of a lot of it. So it was a good Easter is what I'm getting at.
And that's the Easter miracle.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So that was not such a great surprise for Danny when he got married. Let's talk about another issue with a surprise party. Are you a big surprise party guy?
So I'm someone who I like when people make things about me. I'm not going to lie to you. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy it. But I do suffer from when I get hit with the surprise, how to act. I don't really know. You know, when people hit you with the happy birthday,
yeah.
I'm the idiot that's standing in the middle like, yeah, that's me. But I don't know what to do for 45 seconds. So I can't handle the initial well, but I do like the gesture personally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Danny, you're a no surprise, right?
I'd rather not have your surprises for the same reason that Puya stated. It's because it's just like so unnatural. That's not like mm-hmm. normally when we're surprised, it's fight or flight, right? But you can't do either of those during a surprise birthday party. So you like live in this limbo of like, what do? I want to fight these people and then flee for trying to surprise me. But instead I have to pretend like I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like all these biological signals getting mixed up because you're, you know, the wiring in your brain is short circuiting.
Yeah. No, I famously do not like surprises, do not like surprise parties. So I was very happy when I read this story because I felt like the justice was served here. This is the story of a man, Kevin Burling, who is 29. He worked at a place called Gravity Diagnostics in Kentucky. And so that back in August of 2019, that he was given a surprise birthday party that he said, hey, whatever you do, I don't want a surprise birthday party. They threw him a surprise birthday party, which caused him to suffer a panic attack from the unwanted attention.
Yeah, he had to sit in his car.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, for a while to recover. And I totally understand that. See, he's experiencing what we're experiencing. And that is, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a trapped animal.
Yeah.
And by the way, people who love surprise birthday parties, I'm assuming, can't even fathom why someone wouldn't. They strike me as the kind of person who couldn't even put themselves in the shoes of someone who would hate a surprise birthday party. Like, no, he's going to love this.
He says he doesn't want it, but wait till he sees this. Wait till he sees this surprise.
No means yes when it comes to surprise birthday parties.
So he had the panic attack, went out to the car, and the manager started giving him a hard time for his response to the birthday celebration. And they accused him of stealing the coworker's joy.
Yeah. Who is this party for again? Was it for the coworkers or was it for me? Like, I'm allowed to feel how I feel about it.
Look, you know, I've worked in an office before. I think everybody is excited for when it's somebody's birthday, because that means there's a cake.
Yeah.
People are getting excited for the cake. They don't really care about you, but that, oh, there's going to be a cake here today. Okay. All right. That'll get me through the day.
Joy thief, wet blanket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the terms people give others who can't match their enthusiasm. And I always feel like you can't have an expectation on another person's joy. Right. And if it saps your own joy, then that's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
He specifically said no. Now, the amount of money he got is insane. I wonder if the lime guy is involved in this.
All right. So then his managers had to speak with him again. They did not. They were very upset about his behavior of, you know, stealing the joy. And so ultimately they had a meeting with him. He had a second panic attack. And so they ultimately fired this man. Due to these incidents, beginning with them throwing the birthday party against his wishes. And now, just on this past week, a 12-person jury unanimously awarded the man $450,000 judgment against the company.
Do you think when they selected the jury, they, you know, the people for him somehow tried to test if people liked the surprise? Surprise. Like, they would walk into the courtroom, they would stand up and start clapping and see how they reacted.
Yeah.
And then if they had a bad reaction, they'd be like, oh, that's who we want on the jury.
Oh, okay. In the jury. So to test the jury to see if they were going to be,
if they liked surprise things. And then, you know, probably in a courtroom, you could stand up and clap and then just see how they reacted.
Right.
And
would the defense then throw those people out of the jury pool?
They would try.
Yeah.
They would definitely try. I mean, don't the lawyers go to, you know, war over jury selection? I've always thought that's kind of how it worked.
Hmm. Okay. $450,000. I mean, I would take a surprise birthday party for $450,000.
Oh, yeah. That is the kind of surprise I do like. Yeah. This is better. A cake is nothing compared to this. This is many cakes.
$450,000. Mm-hmm. It also says a lot about the world we live in that there's that. It sounds like there's a majority who don't like surprise birthday parties because of the way the jury turned.
So, the $450,000 is $120,000 in lost wages and benefits, $30,000 in future wages, and $300,000 for past, present, and future mental pain and suffering.
Wow. What a sweet deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm with you guys. I would take a surprise for $450,000.
That would be good. I mean, is that one of the underrated things that COVID took away from people in the working in office places about having to have coworker birthday parties? Again, people like having the dessert in the office.
Yeah, it is gross, though, watching someone blow a candle out on a cake you're looking forward to eating. Mm-hmm. That was pre-COVID. That was, and by the way, when there was a video that people made fun of when Mitt Romney put out the candles one by one, mm-hmm. and people mocked him for not blowing them out. But I was firmly on his side. Who wants?
How did he do that, Danny?
I think he took them out and extinguished them one by one, or he didn't do it with.
Did he have like a survivor, like torch snuffer, or he did it with his hands?
I think he just took it out and like put it down on a plate. If I remember, it was a while ago. I think it was pre-COVID.
That'd be pretty badass if he like licked his fingers and like put out all the flames.
It looked straight into the camera, not even at the candles.
Yeah.
But I, you know, the whole cake party thing, and the cake is just so gross after someone's breathed. I've never eaten a birthday cake that's been breathed on.
Yeah. Are you a cake guy in the first place?
No, I might be more interested in a pie as long as it hasn't been spittle hasn't graced the outer layers of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So pie. Be careful out there. If you are planning a surprise party, you got to respect the no surprises that, you know, famously that for my 40th birthday party, I said to my wife that what do you want to do? I said, let me plan it. Whatever you do, do not throw a surprise party for me. And yada, yada, yada. She threw a big surprise party for me.
Oh, yeah.
And then Danny, when I complained about parts of it, people said, you are such a jerk. Your wife worked so hard that you are so ungrateful. You're a bad guy. But I said, I didn't want it.
Nobody's happy on your birthday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. No, Liana's the same way. She doesn't like her birthday being acknowledged. So
but
last
you respect
year,
it, right?
Listen, I do, uh-oh. But I also thought I did a small gesture that I thought, oh, this will be a fun little surprise. Apparently, she like threw a whole surprise for me on my Twitch stream one time. So that 2 weeks later was her birthday. So I was like, I'll return. I'll do something. So I had some of her viewers go into her Animal Crossing mm-hmm. island and drop gifts. And she was not happy with me about that. She was like, I feel blindsided now. You know, she didn't like it. So I definitely learned this year. It was just a regular Tuesday. Yep. Nothing happened.
When people tell you what they want, believe them.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, you got to be able to sort of like, so because some people are like, I don't really want any surprises. Like, but if somebody is like adamant, like, listen to me. Okay. Let me, I'm telling you that I'm leveling with you. You gotta listen. You gotta listen. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that was a little bit of the case of a young man in the USFL who was fired from the USFL. Now, Danny Puya, I feel like that neither of you are big professional football guys, correct?
No, I'll pay attention to it for conversational reasons, but typically don't watch an entire game.
Yeah. When it comes to NFL, I've got my eye on it more now because I'm involved with playing fantasy football, but then my team took many L's this year. So mostly Super Bowl is where I would go, but I'd keep an eye on the Super Bowl over anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, we have the curious case of, Devion Smith. Who there's some controversy about why he has been fired from one of the brand new USFL teams. USFL, it existed like in the 80s. Somehow it's back. Some sort of spring football league. They had a big game on TV on Saturday. Yeah. And so I don't know if this is necessarily just being drummed up to sort of like generate some controversy, but... there's a story going around about the reason why Devion Smith was cut was because he wanted the team to have served pizza, but instead they gave him chicken salad.
I'm trying to read through this story to find if there's another issue mm-hmm. going on or some kind of like long running feud or short running feud in the case of this football league.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all very unclear. I just have a hard time believing that. I feel like that was the last straw of something that had been going on between people instead of that, just a single event that led to him being dismissed.
Yeah. Okay. Because I feel like if someone asks for pizza over chicken salad, I can't imagine that is an unpopular take. I feel like a lot of people will be like, yeah, pizza's easier. Whose grandma's recipe did he insult is what I want to know, because this is wild to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in this video that was shared. OK, so we have Devian Smith coming in and being, talked to by the coaches. And in the clip, the coach, Kirby Wilson, sits down with Smith, but tells him the bad news. He crossed a line. We had to deal with it. That he had requested pizza instead of the chicken salad at the team hotel. They said that was disrespectful.
You can't, the rules are there for a reason. Discipline must be maintained. Not eating what you're offered is just, now you've gone too far. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They have to make an example of somebody. And from here on out, everyone will be eating the chicken salad when it's given to them.
Yeah. Now, Puya, do you feel like, is this like a team building metaphor? It's like, if the whole team is eating chicken salad, you're eating chicken salad too.
Maybe, but then that just, again, what if he doesn't like chicken or doesn't like a specific ingredient? What if he's allergic to something in there? I feel like this is a wild reason to cut somebody. Because, Rob, I'll tell you this, if all the podcasters assembled and someone had said, all right, we're having stew, I know you're not touching it.
No, so, I'll try it.
You try it?
I guess.
Dabble?
I guess so.
Pretend you're eating it. That's
that's the move.
Was the chicken salad a test, do you think, Danny? Of like, all right, when we say jump, you say how high. When we say the lunch is chicken salad, you say how much.
Yeah, you know what would have been a better old school punishment would have been to have all his teammates who ate the chicken salad but wanted pizza do push-ups while he ate the pizza in front of all of them. And then, that really would have been punishment, because then his teammates probably would have punished him later. This, I do think that there was something else going on. Seriously. And probably in this football league, they can't mess around, probably on a shoestring budget. Every single team is near collapse. And so they just they couldn't afford the pizza, or something wasn't in the budget they had. And that was it.
I think
live with this problem.
What they're going for here with the USFL is they're trying to give you like more of like behind the scenes than like the NFL. So they're like trying to like show you like
reality stuff TV.
Reality TV. So I think much like reality TV, I wonder if like in the edit of this story, things got a little convoluted and this was a better storyline than the ultimate reason that he was cut.
Yeah, I actually have seen
talking.
I've seen a lot of USFL stories and I haven't watched the game, but it's interesting you bring it up as more of an involved kind of sports where they're in the background, because that's what all the stories, they're not even about the games. They tend to be more about the drama around the teams.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, we'll see if USL fans bring in like all the pizza lovers to rally behind Devion Smith and whatever team he goes to next.
Rob, what's your prediction for the lifespan of the USFL?
Well, it's been tricky. The history of the spring football has not been a good one. They had the XFL back up and running back in 2020, and it was like getting like a little bit of buzz, and then COVID like wiped it out, and then it went back out of business. I think The Rock might have purchased the rights to it. Like, I kind of feel like that there's always like one of these like fledgling spring football leagues trying. And I always get excited for it, but then I never end up like sticking around to it. I always feel like it's a little bit of like, oh, I got to figure out a new team to watch. I think the closest I came was the XFL back in, I believe it was in 2000, the original XFL. And Puya, I really liked it that they had JR and Jerry the King calling the games, but the New York Hitmen stunk.
that was their name? Hitmen?
Yeah.
It's a great commentary team, but I feel like I'm of the mindset, especially with some of these reality shows, sports included, I feel like a break is needed. I feel like you need that break. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason why it's so great when the season hits is because it's like a 3-4 month, 5 month period. You're all focused. Then you need the disconnect. And I feel like it might be too much to take on with a whole new league, a whole new team, like you said. And for you, especially if it's another team that's just disappointing you, Rob, do you really want to take that on? Like,
can you handle that emotionally?
Yeah.
I did have the XFL game on, or sorry, the USFL game on Saturday night, but it wasn't that exciting.
Okay.
I wasn't that into it. Okay. Let me tell you something that is exciting. Let's talk about the Wisconsin real estate market. And this is a story that went pretty viral this week because there was a house listing which is in Wisconsin along the Minnesota border. And so the listing included a bunch of different photos of the house, including a bedroom which I guess had been, you know, not really redecorated, which included a sound, which included a sign that reads, "Welcome to Pound Town."
I'm not a fan of any sign in any house, whether it's
that is true. You've talked about this.
Yes. I'm anti-sign, even one that announces your prowess in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm against that. And also,
is that prowess, Pound Town?
I don't really know. Mm-hmm. We can't really say. I mean, Pound Town sounds like a gruesome, not so gentle exercise.
You're right.
But I mean, really, is this any better than mirrors? Is
mirrors
probably less tacky?
Mirrors on the ceiling?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I would put this or equate this with like a mirror. This is a mirror comparison. Both are announcing something that people don't really want to know about you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe give you a glimpse. Like, what if these are two sweet old people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the grandkids come over and you've always had this certain image of who they are. And then you're walking through their house. You're like, "Oh, can I use your bathroom?" Like, "Yeah, right in there." And you go in and you see this sign.
Take a left at Pound Town.
Yeah. If you stumble into Pound Town, you've gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you walk out of the house and like, "Would you like a glass of lemonade before you leave?" You're like, "No, I need to go home right now."
Yeah. So here, let me see if I can bring up the full pictures in the listings. And this is from a tweet from Zillow Gone Wild, which might be an auto follow. So it seems like a seemingly normal house that there is another pillow that has some sort of like our nest. Okay.
See,
all right. So they do have some signage up, a little sign that says "Eat." But then here we have the bedroom. Nice. Do you see the like the bearskin rug over the bench here?
Yeah, the little bench. Listen, outside of the sign, this is a pretty nice room.
It does seem nice. I agree.
Yeah.
The sign
kind of classes it down a little bit, it feels like.
I think that's going to hurt your overall value as a house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the person knows for a fact they're going to have to remodel that master bedroom because you just can't trust any surface in a room called Pound Town.
Well, I feel like that when you buy the house, it doesn't come with the bed.
No, but we don't know. The bed is just the starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they should leave
off limits.
They should leave a black light at the entrance when you're going in for the listing. Like, all right, let me check it out.
This person's big into signs. So in the kitchen, they have "Eat," but they also have a sign that says, "This kitchen is for dancing." And then they have a sign for bread. Mm-hmm. So these people love signs, and that their love of sign is carried over into places where perhaps no sign should be.
Also, have you seen the microwave on top of this? So it looks
possible?
It's a very wide microwave.
Yeah.
Is that an actual microwave that they make?
It's like five feet wide.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Do you like that, Danny?
I've never seen a microwave like that. Part of me thinks it's the wide angle lens doing something.
It must be because I don't know what I'm putting in there.
Looks pretty wide too.
I just can't imagine a microwave. That seems too big. That seems like near industrial strength.
Yeah.
Slash, now it's putting microwaves out there that are harmful at that size. Mm-hmm. Getting right through that mesh.
Yeah. What do you need to microwave that's so wide?
They have to clean all of their stuff off in the microwave. Mm-hmm. The way to really kill the bacteria.
Put a torpedo in there. Now it does say it's our nest, which I think leads me to believe that a couple does live here. Does look to be like some handbags on the hook. The Pound Town sign to me speaks like a bachelor pad, but it does seem as though a couple could live here.
It does also, if you put a sign up like that, maybe you're trying too hard. Mm-hmm. Making too much of an effort to make sure people know something about you. Kind of like bumper stickers. They're obnoxious. It's like, why can't we, there needs to be some mystery. Like if I go into your bedroom, you know, let my imagination decide what takes place in there, not your sign.
Is it possible that Pound Town could mean something else? Like, is this like a Cleveland Browns fan who famously has like, the dog pound, like, could there be any other reading of Pound Town?
Pound Town could be, it could be dog linked. That is for sure. It could be, you know, they're saying our food is so, it's not an Airbnb, but like our food's so good. You're going to feel the weight on, but then you can come here to Pound Town and take a nap. Mm-hmm. That could be, you feel sluggish after a good meal. Rob, if you go down in the thread, underneath it, there's another tweet with four more pictures. This couple loves their signs. There is a sign everywhere.
Signs. Okay. Yeah.
I am not a fan of being in a house where they're essentially giving me directions of what I should do in each room. Yeah,
there's one. Okay, so it looks like also this speaks to that there are children here also. This is a playroom here. It says play on the wall. I mean, this you're right, Puya. Every room in the house, they tell you, okay, this dictators. Play.
Yeah.
Pound, eat, like
they dance.
Yeah, they tell you what to do in every single room. This room, they say, keep exploring. Also, is there a mini Starbucks set up here?
Yes, yes.
And is this for looks kids like it was barista set?
Yes, oh, it's here's the absolutely
sign.
That.
The sign says, "Be our guest."
Yeah. Okay. This one says pantry. Right.
I know where the pantry is. I don't need that. It's like, listen, I used to think, you know, the live, laugh, love, that was generic. Get rid of that. Get rid of all the signs. So we don't need these. Mm-hmm. Let's eat. Like, no, I will eat. You know, it's fine. I don't need you to tell me with the sign.
Yeah.
I don't think you can really be free in a house with this many signs.
Too many
rules.
You
are a captive to the signs.
Yeah. Did you happen to see the price tag for this place?
$420.
There you go. Tomorrow would be the perfect day to put in a bid on this place. Okay, it's an acre and a half of land, Danny.
Ooh, room to play. I'll put out a sign that says play in the yard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got some more photos here. Oh, we got a family photo here. This is Euphoria. Okay.
Oh, over the fireplace it says gather.
Gather.
Oh, gather. You would gather.
Yeah. Okay. So here's another look at that microwave, Danny. It does look like
it is wide.
Very wide microwave.
Gosh, I'm going to start looking around for wide microwaves.
Yeah, it's like, I guess you could put a whole pizza in there.
I mean, how deep is it?
Yeah, exactly. We don't know. Maybe it's just for warming up French bread.
Another sign here. What was they work hard and be nice to people in this other room? Yeah.
You got
to
say it like this. Work hard.
Be nice.
Be nice.
Yeah. They also have a desk that says woof on the desk.
The big woof to the signs in this house is what I would say. It might be a family of little words. You know, they don't speak much, but they've got signs to guide them.
It looks like there's a wedding photo also right to the left side of the room with Pound Town.
That's sending conflicting messages. Matrimony in Pound Town, matrimony means nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is like a very tasteful shot of from the bathroom with the Pound Town.
It says, side. Please seat yourself on top of the toilet.
Please seat yourself. Let's eat.
Yeah, boy.
So many signs. I've never seen a house with more signs.
There's a lot of kids at this house that has Pound Town. I guess they're not joking.
Yeah.
That's just what you want your kids to see.
Yeah. Mom, Dad, what's Pound Town?
It's a healthy sexual message.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. In for a penny, in for a pound. So, yeah, $420,000 in Wisconsin will buy you the Poundtown house. Be great.
Is there a better name for it? Like the Poundtown Palace?
Poundtown Palace. Ooh.
Yes. Yes. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Poundtown Manor, I think, is very classy.
Ooh, very classy. Mm-hmm. Classier than the signs.
The Pounding Grounds.
Are you coming up with all these? Sure. Are you just like this top of the head? That's very impressive.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I'm going to just like hang the Poundtown sign in my house and see if my wife notices.
Your wife doesn't mind signs, does she?
She loves signs. Yeah. So. I will show this to her tonight and see what what her reaction is.
Oh, yes, please.
Might surprise you. She's any excuse to have like more signs around.
Very tasteful.
Yes. Tasteful, tasteful and untasteful signs. That I know I've talked about her signs before. She has like one that's like in the laundry room. It's like, this is where you drop your pants.
Okay, so she would be, it sounds like she might be a fan.
She might be open to it.
Yeah.
The sign.
Yeah.
The sign. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's talk about some research that was done about the different habits of people in Poundtown around the world.
Okay,
every country has its own Poundtown. And so a study was done to determine who is the world's best lover. For the people of what country are the world's best lovers? And this is one that I would not have guessed, but it is the Scottish.
Very surprised by this, having lived in Scotland.
Yes.
For 2 years.
They're number great. One.
They are very passionate.
Yes.
They do like fighting and smashing windows, at least in a lot of the cities I lived. And maybe that passion translates to bedroom antics and treating your lover, with the respect and passion they deserve.
Yes.
I noticed it said they beat the Italians and the French. Mm-hmm. Notoriously, those are the ones you would
think. Yeah, so Italians, number two, French, three, then English, then Spanish, then American. So not a bad finish for America in the top six. Portuguese, Irish, Swedish, and Welsh complete the top 10. Puya, I feel like that our 90-day fiancé, I feel like that we do not often see too many 90-day fiancé incoming people from the big top 10.
No, Europe is pretty much dominating this top 10 with the exception of America, of course. I feel like South America has definitely been absent from this list. No one from no Asia representatives. So I'm curious what the rest of this list looks like. But like Danny said, Scotland, they smash stuff and then they smash stuff. So,
There's a quote here from someone.
And they
from
do Ed- use a pound, correct?
That's right.
Yes. That's right.
So here's a quote from someone, Derek Simpson of Edinburgh. He says that Scots know how to charm the socks and everything else, all folk, and how to leave a good impression. And I will say the Scots are very charming.
Mm-hmm.
And when the way they're portrayed.
Sean Connery.
Yeah, exactly. The way they're portrayed in a lot of movies is charming. Their accent's very charming. Their country can be very charming. Mm-hmm. So there is some truth to that, but still I'm surprised. These other countries, Italy and France.
Yeah.
Must be outraged, rioting the streets,
right?
Not making this list.
Now, again, as with the next study that we're going to talk about, I think that the question is going to be how were these results reached? And so that this comes to us from The Sun, which is a UK publication. They polled people to rate their holiday flings they had in other countries. So for the British, there might be a little bit of like self-selection here in terms of like proximity.
Right.
That's true. Your flings.
Yes. On vacation.
Lovers, flings. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Scotland, England, Ireland, and Wales are all in the top 10. So I could see that influencing the the polls here.
For sure.
Yeah. The results were reached. This was an informal poll, not a scientific study, I should say. They quizzed people to rate their holiday flings on a scale of 1 to 10. And those who gained between 7 to 10 points were listed here. So they only took a look at the people that scored the highest. And so they had Scotland at number one with 43%.
That's just a drive away.
Just to, yeah. So nearby. Okay. Now, maybe this next study might be a little bit more scientific. Okay. Another study from this week that there was some research that was done to measure the phallus of men around the world.
Quantifiable data.
Quantifiable data. Okay. And so I want to here. Let me see if I can bring in the research of how this is done. Yes. But the headline here is that the United States rated. They did come in not particularly high in the study. 59th place for
Out all the countries, though, is that
it
out
looks
of,
like out of 86 out of 86 countries.
Oh, dear.
Came I was hoping for 200. That's decent. That's 59th. Not bad.
59th place. OK,
what's going on here?
OK, so
dig deep into the data.
Well, we'll dig into the data. OK, so this study was done. They polled 86 nations. To find and this was done by the online pharmacy from Mars and analyzed the Google data from 86 countries.
Google data.
Through Google data. They got this information.
People using a Google phone to take a picture of their manhood. And then the phone measures, yeah. Which could be an interesting app.
Okay. Now, this is an online pharmacy from Mars. They are advertised as out of this world healthcare. Four men have lots of different treatments that you can order. They put together this poll, and in this poll, they concluded number one on the list, according to the poll, was Ecuador.
I'm not, now that we've looked into their methods, mm-hmm. not convinced this is the most scientific way.
Definitely not.
This is very... haphazard, not great. I want someone, people in lab coats with rulers going around to all these countries and mm-hmm. at random selecting men and then measuring and computing and Excel spreadsheets and all that. This doesn't sound like
I think that this is a tricky thing to study because
this is just this is bait, clickbait right here, and we've fallen for it. This isn't even a study finds, my most respected source of data.
This is from the else. Sun. One of the least respected.
Yeah, exactly. This is definitely clickbait. And it's worked and we've clicked on it.
It worked. And Scotland is not anywhere in the top five.
Which can't be true.
Top five, they say Ecuador, Cameroon, Bolivia, Sudan, Haiti. That's the big five.
Hmm. I need to see charts. I need to see a lot more than just an online survey and Google data. Mm-hmm. What does that even mean, Google data? Like people who had to, the countries with the most searches for, is my dong big? Mm-hmm. Those ones must have small dongs. Mm-hmm. And then the countries that didn't Google it at all must just have giant ones.
Yeah, the confidence spoke miles. I'm looking at the full list of 86.
Yeah.
Scotland's not on this list.
Oh,
what does that even mean?
Hmm.
So, I mean, either they didn't bother looking into Scotland, but it's interesting because United Kingdom is there under one, and then Ireland is there as well, but no Scotland. I'm assuming United Kingdom would then encompass England, Scotland, Wales.
Oh,
would that be the case?
Perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, Scotland probably wouldn't be happy with that, especially after winning such a prestigious award.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're 66th. United Kingdom.
Okay.
So
So, all right, we'll see if we have any updated research.
Yeah, and anyone who's panicking, any U.S. citizen, male U.S. citizens who's panicking, don't. Let's wait till we see the real research that comes out.
Mm-hmm. You're fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah. Look, last time I checked, Pound Town still located in Wisconsin, which last time I checked is in the United States of America. All right. Another piece of research was done that found that cheating wives are more likely to have one trait in common, and that is that they were most likely to own a cat than any other pet.
Dang it. All right. Uh-oh. Got a cat wandering around here somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have two cats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Cat owners.
Yes. Okay. Now, again, now, Danny, that Puya and Danny. Okay. All right. This sounds troubling. The only good news I can tell you is that this is according to a survey which was carried out by the married dating site illicitencounters.com.
Okay, I feel better.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. This isn't like MIT.
Yes. And it was only that 22% of the 1,400 women polled who were unfaithful said they owned a cat.
I love how nowadays, like, correlation is all you need to make a claim. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, no, there appears to be some kind of relationship. That's probably true. Yeah.
Now, this does seem far more scientific than the poll of penis Dawn size poll around the world.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
1,400 women. That's a good size sample.
Yeah. 1,400 unfaithful women that owned a cat. The second most popular pet among the 1,400 cheating wives was fish.
Snake.
Tropical fish.
Tropical fish.
Yes. 19%.
Yes.
Yes.
That's pretty good. I would have thought, you know, the classic image of a cheating woman would be like a snake, you know. Mm-hmm. That would just seem devious. Whereas a cat, we think of cat lady, right? That's the stereotype. Some lonely lady, not necessarily a cheater. And then I have no stereotype for a female who owns a fish. Like, there's nowhere I can't even process that. Like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. They're out fishing, Danny.
Yeah, that's true.
They're out putting out the bait.
Tropical fish, though?
Tropical fish.
Do people own anything other than tropical fish? Like, do people keep in tanks in their home, like carp?
a whole salmon? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any other kind of fish you would want to own. Fish are boring enough, let alone owning some kind of like trout. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is my trout.
So I'm very confused by the writing of this story that they say that, okay, so tropical fish were the next most favored by 19% of female love rats, comma, with hamsters third at 17%. Are they saying that women who have rats as pets are second, or are they slandering these women?
I thought they were calling the women rats.
Female love rats.
Oh my God. That's exactly what that is, Rob. It's a direct insult.
What is a love rat?
Why the drive-by? Yeah. What is that?
Yeah. Okay. So in a chart that they call heavy petting, I can see that the full list is cat 22%, tropical fish 19%, hamster is 17%. A dog is eighth with 12%.
Yeah, because if you own a dog, you don't have time for anything else.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, I looked up love rat definition on dictionary.com.
Did Benry write this?
It's British slang, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
A sexually unfaithful man, especially one whose infidelity involves more than one affair. So female love rat would be that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's okay, because I read that as well and I was confused as to the wording, but there you go. Originally published by The Sun.
Yes.
Noting.
Mm-hmm. Regurgitated by the New York Post. So The Sun again coming out with less than stellar
questionable
research.
Clickbait content. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And it's worked.
All right. Danny, I know you have done some investigative reporting recently about a story that's been in the news, and I thought that this would be a great time to hear some of the work you've done covering a story involving the famous breakfast cereal Lucky Charms. Now, Lucky Charms are it's more of an Irish cereal, which is in the top 10 for the top lovers around the world.
Yes. Those who consume Lucky Charms hopefully gain some of that lover, you know, skill. Mm-hmm. Lucky Charms, a cereal I currently have in my cupboard. And we bought like two boxes for St. Patrick's Day because Lucky Charms boxes converted into a leprechaun trap.
Ah, yes, yes. So, are you aware of the leprechaun traps that are created?
No, I would need to know more.
It's out of control. Mm-hmm. My griping about holidays is every holiday has been taken over by really stupid things. And one of the things I never thought I would be doing as a grown man is building numerous, not just one leprechaun trap, but building numerous leprechaun traps the day before St. Patrick's Day and being screamed at by six-year-olds when I'm not meeting her. She had drawn blueprints and I was not understanding her blueprints correctly. It's out of control. May you never experience the leprechaun trap. Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you, Danny, that so I asked my kids, hey, guys, I know that we have like these leprechaun traps that we're making. Like, what are we doing if we capture? Did I tell you this?
No.
Oh, I passed this along to my wife. I said, hey, Nicole, I asked the boys, what are we doing if we end up with a leprechaun in the leprechaun trap? And my kid said, yeah, we're gonna get him to tell us where the pot of gold is. I'm like, well, what if he doesn't tell you? He's like, we're gonna torture him. What are we doing here?
Bad cop, Dominic and Anthony.
Wow. They're like, we're gonna waterboard him.
Yeah, if he doesn't tell us, we're gonna kill him.
What? No, they actually said they were willing to kill a leprechaun.
They're going to torture and kill the leprechaun if he doesn't tell us where his gold is.
You know what, though? I do appreciate the fact that they had so many kids could catch one and not know what to do. But it sounds like your boys had a plan.
Yeah.
They were going to see this through.
They were going to see this through.
This is where you start skipping St. Patrick's Day in your house, Rob.
Yeah. Like, well, why, you know, if you think about it, like we're making a trap to capture like this, like a sentient being.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine coming into your boy's room and they've got like a little, I don't know, like thing captured, pinned up.
Yeah.
They're poking him with like pins. Tell us where the gold is.
Anthony, yeah. Why is the toolbox out? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Him? Yeah.
Why are these pliers on the, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that
talk leprechaun.
I think my girl thought if you catch the leprechaun, he has to tell you where the gold is. Like just that's like the relationship between humans and leprechauns. Mm-hmm. Luckily she didn't mention any torturing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But Danny, back to the Lucky Charms.
So Lucky Charms, we have some and supposedly, and I was surprised we didn't report about this because for the last 3 weeks, it's been popping up all over the place that Lucky Charms is making people sick. Projectile vomiting,
explosive
diarrhea, all of the things you don't want, you know, the worst kind of surprises.
Yeah.
And
why?
They think that it all comes from Lucky Charms. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. There going back to the studies we talked about with correlation. If you have, I don't know how many people eat Lucky Charms. Let's just assume a third of all Americans consume Lucky Charms, right? 100 million people. A lot of people. Yeah. Cause it's that good. If you're only getting, and there's been 139 reports, I mean, what are the odds that there's 139 people out of however many consume Lucky Charms that just happen to get diarrhea or projectile vomiting on the day they ate Lucky Charms? I mean, that's what we're dealing with here because General Mills says, no, this isn't real. The Lucky Charms is not causing this. This is just, you know, your luck. You ate Lucky Charms, you got diarrhea.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I get food poisoning, I ask myself the same question. Was it the food or was I sick before this happened? Mm-hmm. Another thing is none of the symptoms, it affects everybody in different ways. People puke, people have diarrhea, people get nausea, people get like body cramps, people become zombies on the couch, which is what one woman said.
Zombies on the couch.
So it's like, there's also no common theme with this, but I'm sure General Mills is looking into it because Hint of Lime guy is always on the lookout for a new way to make a quick buck. And, you know, as a huge company, you got to protect yourself. And cereals do occasionally become tainted. And at the end of this article, they talk about, and we may have talked about this too, Honey Smacks, which also I have in my cupboard right now.
Love Honey Smacks.
And then also Fruit Loops, Apple Jacks, Corn Pops, and Honey Smacks suffered from some foul odor, but no sickness. So occasionally cereals do get tainted, but
we talked about the Shrimp Tails famously.
The Shrimp Tails and Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah.
But being a dry good, they tend to suffer less from illness than some of the other things.
So has there been a recall?
No recall yet. I'm still able to go down to my local grocer and get a box or two if I want to live on the edge.
Yeah.
Which I do.
Have you ever had food poisoning?
Oh, I mean, of course.
Yeah, what was the source?
The last time that I can think of was a bad shawarma.
See, but I feel like you always know. Like, I feel like that when you get food poisoning, you can like intuitively sense like what I feel like there's almost never like a mystery about what the food was. I had a Subway cold cut combo. Oh,
well,
in 2008, and I can never have that again.
It doesn't take Columbo to connect your nausea to your Subway sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like it's the easy culprit. Like, oh, it must have been the food that I had. I don't know. I'm always suspicious of the food, but I'm never convinced. The one thing that does happen, if I get projectile vomiting, which is my go-to, whatever I ate before it, whether or not it was the culprit, it will never be consumed again.
Never.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because it just becomes tainted by that connection to the vomiting, whether or not it was the source. Luckily, that hasn't happened with Lucky Charms because I do like Lucky Charms.
Okay. All right. Well, Danny, stay safe out there consuming all those Lucky Charms. And of course, stay safe when you visit Danny's Bolt Hole. Danny, are you ready to take us to your Bolt Hole once again?
Let's do it.
Okay. Here we go.
Welcome to my Bolt Hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yeah. Okay.
Would you say, Rob, that you live in a city?
I do live in a city, but I do not live in the city.
You grew up in a city, right?
I grew up on Long Island. It's like the suburbs.
Okay. What about you, Puya?
Yeah, big city guy. Born and raised in Dubai. Now I live in New Haven. It's a city. I would say I'm a city guy. Yeah.
Dubai.
Yeah.
Wow. That's like the place you always see. It looks so interesting with all this stuff they build.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyway, going back to cities, you know, you always hear about cities, people who talk about cities, they love cities, all the benefits of cities, you know, you're there, you're plugged in.
Yeah.
Right. So the vibe. But there are downsides to cities other than just crime and, you know, crowds and other things. A recent study, and I don't even know if they were looking for this when they did the study, but they studied 400,000 people in 38 countries. So this is no The Sun study, not even a study finds study. And it involved three different universities, and they were studying Alzheimer's. And what they found out, it sounds like, you know, like sometimes when you do research, you there's things on the periphery that you come across that are interesting. And what they found through their research is that people raised in cities do not navigate as well as people who grew up in rural areas.
Do not navigate. Okay. Like,
yeah, let me see if I can find the exact wording for this. I said navigate. They have childhood environments influence navigational ability, but also navigation styles. and that people who grow up in rural areas tend to have a better sense of direction than city dwellers. I find this interesting, one, because the first, you know, when I, as an adult, went back to cities like New York, I would exit a subway and have no idea where I was.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost as if I've been spun around 10 times and then just placed in a random place in the city.
Right.
And they say that part of it is just, if I remember reading this, I read this article a week ago, is that the gridded streets, they don't necessarily require the same type of navigational skills, right? Because you're looking at numbers, you kind of have the whole thing laid out for you. I think that, and then in the rural areas, you have more natural points of interest and you have to use other things that are more applicable.
Like the
in
sun.
Nature. Yeah, nature, mountains, rivers.
And that's and more so, portable, you think?
Yeah, I think so. And it maybe transfers a little bit better to other areas. Whereas if you plop, I mean, the funny thing is if you plop a rural person in the city, they're lost, right? And if you plop, supposedly, according to the study, a city dweller in the woods, they're dead. They're not going to be able to find their way out.
But if you take like a city person from New York and put them in Philadelphia, are they able to figure out where they're going?
I think they'd be better equipped than a rural person. But what made me attracted to this article, which was in a braintomorrow.com, what attracted me to this is that every now and then we, you know, this is a big college place here. There's tons of college students. And every now and then you'll read a story about someone who got lost in the mountains. And you laugh because they are so close to the city. They could almost, if they just knew, you know, like walk downhill or retrace your steps. And what's interesting is a lot of these people are from out of town. And I wonder if I could go back and look at all these stories, how many of these people were from the city that just got a little bit into nature and completely short-circuited and became lost? Because I'm telling you, Rob, if I could show you where these people get lost, and I have a memory of all of them because it just stands out so much, you would be like, wow, they were right there. They could literally wait till night and follow the glow of the city lights back to safety. But they just get lost. And it could be that they grew up in the cities.
Is that what happened to Tyson?
Tyson? No, he might be in a city lost, right? Because Tyson was really rural.
Yeah.
So he should be able to navigate the Arizona wilderness.
What city?
Pound town. Yeah. Which city? Yeah. He could be in any city. And I think that he might have a hard time at first navigating that grid system. And the reason I like this is because it gives us people in rural areas, and I'm not necessarily in a rural area, something to brag about, right? Like the cities get everything, the best food, the networking, the biggest companies, the high paying jobs. And in a lot of rural areas, you just get the dust, the wind, the scorched earth. And now you could be like, no, I can navigate. And if everything goes down, I'll be able to navigate my way to safety. So there you go. There you go, rural people, if you're listening.
Danny, did you open this story talking about Alzheimer's briefly?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, what was the connection?
I have no idea. Oh. I just, at the beginning of it, it says researchers came across this fact.
Oh, they were studying Alzheimer's.
Sorry. 400,000 participants in a study of Alzheimer's. And I'm sure that something in the study involved, you know, like, can you remember how to get from point A to point B? And that people in rural areas retain that ability to navigate better than people who grew up in the city.
Yeah.
So, yeah, finally, we've got something. Yes.
Something. All right. Great job in the bolt hole and with your research into Lucky Charms.
My PSA.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, great job once again. Puya, what's coming up for you podcast-wise?
So the latest episode of the aforementioned 90 Day Fiancé did drop last night.
Yes.
We talked about episode one with the also aforementioned Dr. Liana Boris, my partner and everything. She was my guest this week. And then Masked Singer also will be dropping again this week. We are about to meet the third group, so I'm excited to see what could happen with the concluding five members before we find out who the third finalist is. Big Brother Canada is going to be done in about 2 weeks, but I'll still be there talking about the live feed updates Friday mornings. So that's going to be there ready to go. And you can also find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I do stream there 3-4 times a week.
Mm-hmm. All right, Puya, thank you for filling in today here on News AF.
Hey, yeah,
you got such a good podcasting voice.
Thanks, Danny.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah. Danny, what's coming up for you this week? Any adventures?
Maybe I'll mount another search party.
Yeah.
Tyson.
Check the cities this time.
You think? Mm-hmm. What's the biggest? Phoenix. Go to Phoenix. Maybe fly Tempe? Over Phoenix. Tempe. Maybe they got another one down south. Maybe I'll check the cities because that's where I see him just stumbling around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, though? I have this feeling that we're going to find him soon.
Well,
I can't explain it. Just the sense.
Put out the good word.
Yeah, maybe I'll contact all the helicopter pilots I know and say, you know what, just occasionally look out your window for a tall.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say he's got strawberry colored hair?
Yeah.
Not a great mustache or beard, but it can be there.
Yeah.
Loves pickleball.
Yep.
Loves short shorts.
Right.
Trucker hats.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep an eye out for someone of that description.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll find him. But yeah, I'm always doing adventures. Hopefully I can get back in the helicopter or maybe go climb a mountain. We won't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually I don't know either until like right before it happens. But what about you, Rob?
Just podcasting away. Of course, we got so many of my wife's relatives coming to visit this week, which will make everything much more fun than it normally is. And then, podcast away. I talked about the show Formula One, Drive to Survive on Netflix. Have you watched that, Danny?
I just started watching that.
Yes.
Surprised at how much
people love it.
I like it.
Yeah. And it's very well done. So we talked about that with Chappelle, and we had a great guest, Amy Chan, to talk about that with us. She is a big Drive to Survive super fan. Chappelle and I were much more getting indoctrinated for the first time to Formula One, but it's a really cool show. And so check that out on nothing but Netflix this week.
And then, Liz asked how much it would cost to go. We watched.
You're
like
going to go to a Formula One event?
I'm like, you would want to go to this? Probably the tickets are probably like hundreds of dollars
mm-hmm.
to do the ones where you sit down. I mean, the ticket to Monaco is, you know, probably a lot with a hotel. But that's how excited she was with that show.
She's like,
would you think we could go to one of these? And then she even looked them up. There's two in the U.S., if I remember, in Florida. I'm like,
wow.
I'll have to schedule something else on those dates.
That's amazing, Danny.
Yeah. So she loves it.
What about NASCAR? Could you get her? Or she only cares about the show.
I think she likes it because she likes the idea of the drama. She knows the drivers, you know, the back and forth, the battle, which makes it such a good show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Wow. That's interesting news.
Yeah. What was the other show you were going to say?
What else am I watching? That's about it for what I'm podcasting about.
Oh,
yeah.
Light.
Yeah. Let's talk about Beyond the Edge, Danny. Yeah, you'd fit right in on that show.
I've seen that. Should I watch that?
I mean, you actually might like the adventures, Danny.
Okay, I'll take a look.
Yeah, check that out. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.